This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massé.
Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk, live from Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight on AM570 LA Sports Dodgers Radio. The Dodgers getting another day closer to their first Cactus League game of 2017. That will be on Saturday against the Chicago White Sox, and that will be heard right here on your home for the Dodgers, AM570 LA Sports, beginning at 11:30 with Dodgers on deck, and first pitch will be at 12:05. Phone lines are open tonight at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Since we haven't gotten too many complaints so far since I've been here in Camelback Ranch, you're basically telling me you feel pretty good about this Dodger ball club, and you should. It's a loaded ball club, and I feel like this is the most talented team in spring training in the last 5 years. And this is probably a more talented team, top to bottom, than that 2013 team that went to the NLCS against the St. Louis Cardinals. Among the last four Dodger division winners, I felt like 2013 was the most talented and probably the Dodgers' best chance to get to the World Series. Unfortunately, they came up short then and last year as well. Two wins short against the Chicago Cubs. Coming up in the show tonight, you will hear from the 1962 National League MVP and Dodger legend, Maury Wills. Yes, he's back at Maury's Pit teaching the lost art of bunting. And I had a chance to catch up with Maury, and he shared with me some really great Sandy Koufax stories when they were teammates. So you don't want to miss that. That's coming up at 7:15. At the bottom of the hour, you will hear from Scott Van Slyke. He is maybe fighting for a roster spot on this bench in 2017. As far-fetched as that may seem, there's a lot of talent here, and there might be some hurt feelings when 25-man roster is set, and Dave Roberts has to tell some guys that have major league experience that they will not break camp with the big club, and they will be called upon as needed during the regular season. Also, too, last night, we came up short and couldn't share our interview with Dodger top second base prospect Willie Calhoun. We've heard so much about him. I finally got to see him in person, and we'll share my conversation with him as well. But today was a fun day for me personally at Camelback Ranch. I mentioned Maury's Pit, and I was challenged by Yasmani Grandal to lay down a bunt as I was wrapping up my interview with Uncle Maury. Yasmani Grandal challenged me, and seems like I always find a way to not back down from these unrealistic challenges by major league professional players that are world-class athletes. But Yasmani Grandal did challenge me on whether or not I could lay down a bunt in Maury's Pit. So we'll share more of that with you coming up later in the show. And my morning started out by being harassed by Justin Turner because of the polo shirt I was wearing today. I wore a free polo shirt that was given to me, Petros, and Money about 10 years ago. Yes, I keep shirts until they fall apart. From our guy, Deedon, at Long Beach State, who is no longer at Long Beach State, but I still have the polo he gave to us, and I like it. It was a nice-looking polo. It was black, and it was quality material. And Justin Turner, who's a Cal State Fullerton guy, wanted me to take the shirt off. I refused, and he proceeded to get a black Sharpie and started to color out the LB State logo over my left chest. I felt like that was good enough. I could live with that. Hopefully it would wash off. But then Dodgers Vice President Lon Rosen, who the last 2 years has cut out the UCLA logo since he is a proud USC graduate for whatever reason, he has decided this will become a tradition. And if I am not wearing a polo shirt that he approves of, he finds a way to get the trainer scissors and cut out the Long Beach State logo. And you could see a photo of that on my Instagram, Officially Vasse. So that was my day. And it was fun. I love it. I love being around these guys. Every day is a great day here at Camelback Ranch. And you could see some of these images and videos, like I said, on my Instagram, officially Vasse, and on my Twitter page, The Real_DV. But getting to baseball today, Clayton Kershaw and Hyunjin Ryu threw bullpens. Kershaw will start Saturday's game against the White Sox. Shocker, right? Since he is starting opening day against the Padres on April 3rd, his seventh consecutive start, tying Don Sutton for that as far as Dodger records go. But Kershaw looked on point. He did mix in curveballs. He was throwing to Austin Barnes, who was expected to be Yasmani Grandal's backup catcher this year. And Kershaw, the perfectionist and competitor, even in these situations, was upset with himself and said some choice words to himself. Luckily this time, though, I was here last year midway through spring training watching Kershaw throw a bullpen session. He was so upset with himself about a pitch he threw during a bullpen session that he heaved the baseball into the main stadium at Camelback Ranch. So this is not new for me to see Kershaw act that way, and that's how serious he takes his work in between starts, and that's why he's as great as he is. Hyunjin Ryu was right next to him in the Dodger bullpen here at Camelback Ranch, working on things as Oral Hershiser and Rick Honeycutt and Charlie Huff were watching him. The velocity still doesn't seem to be there. Talking to guys that are in the organization that saw his bullpen session, they said the velocity was not there yet, but it was encouraging that he wanted to get back on the mound for a bullpen session. And Dave Roberts said this morning he does plan to see Ryu in Cactus League action, whether that's as a starter, whether that's a situation where he comes in as the second or third pitcher, still remains to be seen. And there's still a very real possibility as well that he may get some starts on those B games in the backfields, because the Dodgers do have a lot of starting pitchers and they do have to find a way to get them their innings to be ready for the season. So those are the two newsworthy notes from camp today. Also, too, Dave Roberts said that Corey Seager felt last year during his Rookie of the Year campaign that saw him hit .308, have an OPS of .877, hit 40 doubles, a LA Dodger rookie record, hit 26 home runs, and drive in 72 RBIs. Seager told Dave Roberts that he still never felt like he had his, quote, A swing all of last year. Now, that is scary, and that's why I've told you guys that I feel like this is the best farm product the Dodgers have had position player-wise since Mike Piazza. This guy is not only going to be a megastar, he is going to be a superstar, because he has a standard for himself so high, and he's similar to Kershaw. He doesn't care what he did yesterday. He absolutely doesn't care what he did last year. He cares about this season and knowing that nobody cares about what you did yesterday. It's what have you done for me lately, and he has that mentality. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Jake. Let's go to the phones before we take a quick timeout and hear from Maury Wills. Let's go out to New York City. Jake, listening on the iHeartRadio app. What's up, Jake?
How's it going, Dave? Just want to preface this that I'm a Dodger fan, grew up in L.A., but live in New York now, so don't know many people thinking I'm a Mets fan out there. I'm feeling really good about this year, very positive, but just to ask a question, and one of those questions that's a good problem to have, what happens if, like, everyone is healthy this year? If Ryu is doing good and Stripling is good and, you know, the outfield and Van Slyke, do we start to deal people at the deadline?
Because, you know, I don't think so, Jeff, based on what Andrew Friedman did last year. If he has an excess of players at a certain position or excess of pitchers, he's not going to just trade them to make them happy. Obviously, it would be a tough pill to swallow for any player on this roster that's in camp that has had major league service. And the guys in camp here are not just major league service for a month or two. These guys have been in the big leagues for 2 or 3 years and have that type of service time. It might be tough for them, but organizationally, it's better as a whole to have that type of talent waiting in the wings in Oklahoma City.
Hey, I'd rather keep him, so glad to hear that.
All right, Jake, thanks for listening, and we'll see you out there when we play the Mets. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Also, too, keep in mind this year, with the new CBA, it was agreed upon that the 15-day DL will now be the 10-day DL. So this is something that plays into having this type of depth in the minor leagues, because if a player in the past maybe had a nagging injury that kept him out 3 or 4 games, teams would not put him on the 15-day DL. They usually would play short, although it would be tough, and they would rather not do that. They don't want to lose that player for 15 days. Now, since it's been reduced to 10 days, there's a greater chance that if a guy has a nagging injury that's only going to keep him out 4 or 5 or 6 days, he's going on that 10-day DL, and you're calling somebody back up. So I'm sure that plays into Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi's thinking, and as well as Dave Roberts. I'm sure he likes that, not having to play short, because he and Don Mattingly have had to do that a few times the past few years. 866-987-2570, pound blue for AT&T subscribers. Speaking of changes, Rob Manfred has pushed through one of the changes he wanted to make. We'll let you know what change that is to the rules this year, and we'll let you know how a college team basically threw it in Manfred's face last night. More Nissan Dodger talk with David Vasse live from Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona on AM570 LA Sports.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger talk.
This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, where the Dodgers are just a couple of days away from their first Cactus League game on Saturday, which can be heard right here on AM570 LA Sports. Dodgers on Deck begins at 11:30. First pitch with Clayton Kershaw on the mound at 12:05. And Sunday's game against the Milwaukee Brewers can also be heard right here on AM570 LA Sports. Dodgers on Deck at 11:30, first pitch at 12:05 as well. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Coming up in just a moment, you'll hear from the great Maury Wills. And at the bottom of the hour, Scott Van Slyke and Dodger top second base prospect Willie Calhoun will join us. We teased that Calhoun would be heard last night. We couldn't get to him, so we'll let you hear that conversation tonight coming up around 7:45. Want to remind you that the 2017 World Baseball Classic Championship Round is coming to Dodger Stadium March 20th through March 22nd. All games start at 6 o'clock, and you can get tickets at dodgers.com/WBC, and you could get your tickets, which are very affordable, for the semifinal and finals at dodgers.com/WBC. Now, speaking of Major League Baseball and their great, wonderful ideas, in the last few weeks, we've talked about Rob Manfred's idea of changing the strike zone, moving it above the knees to make hitters swing more. Wrong. That won't help. You should make the strike zone bigger if you want guys to swing. He also wants to put a runner at second to start the 10th inning and subsequent extra innings to limit the time of games, which is not going to happen in the major leagues, but in the minor leagues, they are going to test it out. Also, too, Rob Manfred has wanted to eliminate the intentional walk by just having somebody raise the four fingers and that hitter gets his base. It's funny that today that is actually going to happen in Major League Baseball, since last night, Texas A&M won their game on a walk-off wild pitch as the pitcher was trying to throw four wide ones, and he threw one away, and Texas A&M won their game on a wild intentional walk pitch. Also, if you've seen some games back 2 or 3 years ago for the Dodgers, Chris Withrow against the Arizona Diamondbacks actually threw one away as well, one of his four pitches to allow a run to score. So if you look at the data since I know baseball loves data these days, Jason Stark from ESPN actually did some research and found that the intentional walk was only given in every major league game, not just one team, but in all of Major League Baseball, once every four games. And how long does it take to throw four wide ones? Usually not that long. So I don't really understand how this improves the pace of play and how this improves the game of baseball. Like I've mentioned a million times, and I'll mention it a million more, if anybody had a clue in New York, they would look at the roster construction of teams and see 7-8 relief pitchers for the purpose of having more pitching changes. You got to limit that. You got to find a way to keep competitive balance in the game, but also, too, limiting the number of pitches. And I know there's a clock right now in between innings, but certain pitchers are forcing Major League Baseball to go to that clock that makes pitchers throw a pitch within 24, 25, 30 seconds. If pitchers don't start picking up the pace, that's the way baseball is going, and that would be unfortunate because this game has never needed a clock up until probably the last 5 or 10 years. So these changes that Rob Manfred wants to do, they're coming from a good place, but he's absolutely wrong. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Had a chance to catch up with the great Maury Wills today. He is in camp again, teaching the Dodger hitters and pitchers how to bunt, and it's become a lost art, and Maury still takes it seriously. The 1962 NL MVP was kind enough to take some time out from teaching the Dodgers how to bunt.
Thank you for having me on your show. I always look forward to being on a David Vassay show. You brought back some old memories talking about the World Series. Let me see, I played in four, I think. 59 when I was a rookie. Against the White Sox, Chicago White Sox. 63 with against the Yankees. Oh, yeah. 65 with the Twins and 66 against Baltimore. Okay, can you imagine so many players play a full career, never get to play in a World Series? Not because they weren't good enough, but the ball just didn't bounce right for them.
Well, you were a big reason why the Dodgers made it to four World Series during your time.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. You know, anytime a team goes to the World Series, it's got to be a team effort. It's not any one particular person, unless you're Sandy Koufax. Gee whiz. I remember Sandy Koufax pitching against Mickey Mantle in the 63 World Series. And Mantle took the last pitch for a strikeout. With a curveball high and away, and he took it, went into a stride, and he took the pitch, and that ball came right into the strike zone for strike three. He threw the bat in the air, cussed a little bit, and said, "How are you supposed to hit that, you know, X?" And walked off. That was a Sandy Koufax that I knew.
What was it like being his teammate? As great as he was, he seemed to be even that more humble.
Oh, absolutely. You see, you give an example of his humility and how he was such a team player. If you ever play a doubleheader, the pitcher that pitches the second game does not have to show up at the ballpark until it's halfway through the first game. The manager says, "Stay in, get a little extra rest. You pitch in the second game." Sandy would be there early for the first game, work out and break a sweat and running around and sit on the bench the entire game, rooting us on. And being that kind of a person, you always reached back. Now, you'd like to think as a professional, every time you're on the field, you're going to give 100%. But when Sandy Koufax was pitching, you could reach back and find a little more than 100% for him. And later on in this interview, if we have time, I'll tell you a quick story to illustrate that.
Tell me now.
Okay, we're playing in Atlanta, and Sandy's leading 8-0, and it's about the eighth inning. And the Braves have a runner on third base with one out. 8-0, Sandy Koufax is pitching. Uh-huh. And the base is loaded, and there's one out. So what do you do in the infield? You stay back. If they hit you a ground ball, you get it, you throw the first, you get the batter runner. Two outs, they get one run, it's still 8-1. I cheated a little bit in from shortstop. And when the batter hit the ground ball to me, I came in fast, picked it up, and the runner from third went home, just Cadillacing home, sort of, knowing I was going to go to first. And I fired the ball home, almost caught my catcher, John Roseboro, off guard. And then he regained his composure, caught the ball and tagged out the runner coming home. Score still 8-0. They have a runner on first. Sandy struck the next guy out. Game's over. Sandy Koufax gets another shutout. And Roseboro gets in my face. What are you doing? 8-0 and you coming home. I said, you stay ready. I said, the man deserved to get the shutout.
Wow.
And that's the kind of feeling I had for Sandy Koufax. I also had for my pitching staff and my teammates.
The great Maury Wills is our guest. And other than being a really great player that helped him have so many wins and shutouts, why do you think you and Sandy connected on a personal level as teammates?
Very good question, David. You see, Sandy had his entire career, he had a bad arm, left arm. I remember when he hurt it. But Sandy, because of his arm problems, he would have to stay after the game with the trainer and put his arm into a whirlpool. Not to mention on the days that he pitched, of course, but even when he didn't pitch. And, you know, the pitcher only pitches once every four games. He had his arm in, and my legs were like hamburger. Say old hamburger that was left out on the front porch for a week. And players would look at it and frown. Oh, my goodness. Grimace. So I would be back with the trainer working on my legs from sliding and stealing bases. But that's what we had to do to win. And Sandy Koufax is not going to become a cunning thumb pitcher. A cunning thumb pitcher is a guy that's finessing you with slow stuff. And I'm not going to stop stealing bases. And I'm not the player that I wanted to be. And I'm not doing what's necessary to win ball games. So we got to talk. There were times when we had to find security to open the gate to let us out.
Wow.
So we got to talk personally, and we would talk about things that we would not talk about with anyone else. And to this day, now I'm going back to the 60s, to this day, Sandy Koufax and I still have a poor rapport to talk about personal stuff. I call him on the phone to say, Sandy, I'm going to spring training. See you there in a few days. He said, no, you won't see me because I won't be there. I what? And then we talked about that for about 10 or 15 minutes, why he was not coming to spring training. Coming to spring training is part of my life. I've been doing it since 1950. Oh, boy. So long ago, David. 1951, I think, was my first year. And I'm still coming to spring training. I look forward to coming to spring. It's part of my life.
And that was the great Maury Wills. And that was our conversation right at Maury's pit. He has a little picnic table right outside of the pit area. And I love spending time with Maury Wills because he is probably one of the most underrated players in the history of the game. And I know that sounds hard to believe considering how he revolutionized the game by stealing bases the way he did. He was Lou Brock before Lou Brock. He was Ricky Henderson before Lou Brock. He was a guy that just changed the game with his legs, and he was a guy that beat out Willie Mays for the 1962 National League MVP. And that year, the Dodgers didn't even win the division. They came up short to Willie's Giants. So this guy was unbelievable, and an interesting fact, too, he would have been the 1965 World Series MVP if it wasn't for Koufax's heroics on pitching on 2 days' rest. He tore up the Twins in that World Series. He had like 13 hits. He was running wild on those guys. He had a great World Series, and if it wasn't for Koufax, he would have been the World Series MVP. And those are great stories that only Maury could tell about the great Koufax. And shortly after we were done with, well, I shouldn't say shortly after the interview, we were going to talk even more. But then the Dodger catchers came over to Maury's pit. And that's where Yasmani Grandal got on me for occupying Maury's time and then told me that I couldn't lay down a bunt. And I said, are you kidding me? I could lay down a bunt better than you can. So Maury tells me, David, you got to go now. He challenged you. You got to go in the batter's box now. You got to show him. And so Maury goes out to the machine and lets me take a look at one ball as it zooms by me. So I get my taste of the first ball, and Grandal grabs my phone so he could videotape me what he believes to be an embarrassing moment. So the man holding my video camera, my phone, is Yasmani Grandal. If you see the video at am570lasports.com and on my Twitter at @TheReal_DV and on Instagram, officially Vasse. I put it all out there on all the social platforms so you could see me lay down a bunt. I got it in fair territory, maybe a little air. Looking back at the video, I could self-critique myself and realize that the barrel of the bat was dropped down, which created the pop-up. And also, too, I lunged forward at the ball instead of catching the baseball with my bat. Those are bunting 101, and Maury was happy that I actually got the bat on the ball. So I felt like that was a victory. I walked off after that, and I didn't want to post the video of Grandal, but he had his first three tries, and all of his bunts went foul. I don't think we have to worry about Grandal being asked to bunt as many times as AJ Ellis. That's right, seltzer on Grandal, Ronnie. How about that? At least mine went in fair territory. And, I did say this, and, you know, I guess it's obvious. I was just trying to walk off and shut up. But Grandal could hit the ball farther than me. He doesn't have to worry about losing a bunting contest to David Vasse. So that was my morning, and that was a great conversation with Maury Wills. And I love going by Maury's pit every morning. And in case you missed any of that conversation, sharing his memories of playing in those World Series with the Dodgers and his relationship with Sandy Koufax, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com. Before we take another break, let's go out to the phones again. Let's go out to Pasadena. Mitch, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Mitch.
Hey, David. First thing you got to know is I've been a Dodger fan since it came out in '58, but I'm a USC fan and an alum. So you really have to go easy. There are a lot of Dodger Trojans in your
audience.
That's
fine, but I'm not a USC guy, and I don't have to fall in line with you guys.
I get it, but that's okay. But I was at a function about 20 years ago. I got to sit next to Maury at a luncheon. And I guess he and Tommy Davis are my two favorite Dodgers of all time, but I love Maury. He's a great guy.
He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. If you want to speed up the pace of the game, I'll tell you what drives me crazy, particularly because I listen to the games and watch games in the 60s and 70s. Let's limit the number of pitching changes per inning to two. You know, I remember when a relief pitcher came in the seventh inning, a Bruce Sutter, even going back before your time, a Lindy McDaniel, a Jim Brewer, they pitched 2-3 innings at a time. They were the closers, and they closed from the seventh inning on. I think the number of pitching changes in an inning is ridiculous. It slows down the game. And I think that is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, contributor to long, boring baseball games, and that needs to change.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And with the Dodgers, remember Ron Peronoski? He was the Dodger closer that would do what you just said, three innings, maybe four, to close out games. So did the Sherry brothers. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And the other issue is, you know, I remember, you know, the Dodgers used their bench players. You know, I remember when rosters were comprised of 9 and 10 pitchers. Now there are 12 and 13.
Right. And that wasn't that long ago. That was in the 80s and early 90s.
That's right. It hamstrings the manager. You know, a team shouldn't need more than 10 pitchers.
Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it, Mitch. You made a lot of sense in what you were saying, and that's kind of what I was getting at when I said the commissioner should be looking at roster construction and look at how many pitching spots teams are giving to their pitchers. 8 relief pitchers, 7 relief pitchers. What is that an indication of? They're planning on making a lot of pitching changes, and I believe the Dodgers were the team that made the most pitching changes of any team in baseball last year, and they're playing by the rules. They're taking advantage of what the rules are and the way analytics have gone and the matchups that Tony La Russa has made famous back in his Oakland days, not even with the Cardinals, but even when he was with Oakland, he was the first manager to really bring in multiple relief pitchers and have one specific closer in for an inning in Dennis Eckersley. But I think it's gotten a little bit out of control and a little bit overkill when you do that. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. What do you think about the initiatives Major League Baseball is trying to put forward to improve the pace of play? I'm not sure the game needs that much tweaking, but I think some of these ball clubs do need to be reined in a little bit with the overkill of trying to match up every hitter with every pitcher with every hitter. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. When we continue live from Camelback Ranch, we'll hear from Dodgers Scott Van Slyke and the Dodgers' top second base prospect, Willie Calhoun. That's next on AM 570 LA Sports.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
David Vasse live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona with the Dodgers. This is Nissan Dodger Talk until 8 o'clock right here on AM 570 LA Sports. The phone lines are open at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Thanks again to the great Maury Wills for his time earlier today in Maury's Pit and for his encouragement to let me lay down that bunt to shut Yasmani Grandal up temporarily. But Yasmani's a great guy. I love being around him too. And I always thank all of these guys for being so inclusive with me because they don't have to do that. And I really enjoy being around them. And hopefully I convey that to you because these guys are more than just baseball players. They're actual human beings that like to have fun, have families, and do sacrifice a lot to play the game they love. 2017 Dodger season tickets are available now for a limited time only. You can enjoy exclusive benefits and great savings. And don't forget, this Saturday, the Dodgers are having an open house from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. to make your 2017 season ticket purchase. You could check out the new pop-up museum there, and you could check out dodgers.com/open house. For more information, 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. You will hear from Scott Van Slyke and Willie Calhoun in just a moment, but we have phone calls, so we want to talk to the people tonight. Let's go out to Valley Glen. Ben, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. You're doing a really terrific job, and that's a really wonderful interview with Maury. Just great
thank
legend
you, Ben.
And great stuff, man. So just about the game itself and the whole conversation that you're having, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, we should always do things because we've always done them that way. And I know there's a lot of baseball purists out there. And I just find it tough to kind of artificially alter the game. You know, I don't understand the commissioner's real purpose. He's not making it clear. I don't think it's really clear why we would want to shorten the game. I mean, I'm just trying to
guess he's not worried about length of game. What he's saying is pace of play, like trying to keep the action moving more than he's worried about a 3-hour game. But, you know, I just don't know how you engage people on a weeknight when games are going until 11 o'clock, 11:30, and people have to go to work the next day, and managers are bringing out two or three different relief pitchers to match up with lefty-righty-lefty.
And that's part of the, you know, the evolving nature of the sport is, you know, with salaries and protecting arms and the number of innings people pitch. I mean, that's one of the reasons why you see it, because there's so much money in the sport that when you lose somebody's valuable arm, you overwork them, you know, it has a detrimental effect in the opposite direction. So understand pace of play, you know, it gets boring. It's like watching paint dry sometimes. I mean, you know what, we all know the criticisms of baseball. That's what makes it such a great game. I think you need to watch it, you know, before you put four fingers up in the air and send someone down to first base to save a few seconds.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like the commissioner feels like the game is broken and needs to be fixed. All they keep telling us is how great the sport is doing and how popular it is. But when you talk about trying to connect with younger people, I think you need better personalities in the game to do that, to connect to these guys. It's not just about the game. It's about the personalities. You said you loved Maury Wills in the interview. He was a great personality. He used to go on the Milton Berle show. He was on the Johnny Carson show. Who's the guy in baseball right now that goes on Jimmy Kimmel or who goes on with Conan O'Brien? Who's that guy? I can't even think of a guy that is that good and can transcend the sport. In yesteryear, there were so many types of players like that, and baseball needs to find them and market them the right way. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Corona. Jim, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk. What's up, Jim?
I guess
hey, Jim.
Going along with what the other guy said, that, you know, the games aren't that long compared to other sports, you know, would have half times and things like that. And to me, it's like, I don't think it's that big a deal, you know, speed it up 5 or 10 minutes. But is the average game really 4 hours, or is it really more like 3 hours, 3.5 hours?
It's about 3:10, 3:15.
Okay, football games average, you know, 3.5 hours. That's why they, you know, put the game
right, and that's why the commissioner said it's not about the length of the game, it's about the pace of play, meaning he wants to see more action in quicker amount of time, and that's what you have in football. Thanks for the phone call, Jim. Appreciate it. Let's go out to Whittier. Frank, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Dave. This is off topic from the whole rule change. It's a different question. I feel like not a lot of people have talked about the departure of Howie Kendrick. And I think he played kind of a big role last year in being that super utility guy. And I think Kike Hernandez is kind of the next guy that might step into that role. But he was really not as good as we hoped he would be last year. I just want to know if you know how he looks going into camp and what he's been up to.
Yeah, Howie Kendrick is now with the Philadelphia Phillies, and super utility, I could see where you're coming with that, because he could play first base. He did play some third base. He did play second limitedly on a limited basis last year, and the majority of his time came out in left field, and the Dodgers have a surplus of outfielders. And with the acquisition of Logan Forsythe, who could play second, who could play third, and on an extreme basis can probably play first base, they don't really need that type of player anymore, and I'm not sure how much Howie Kendrick really embraced that role. He didn't really complain publicly, but I'm not sure if he was as comfortable doing that, and I think his numbers showed last year. Right now, though, a guy that is part of that surplus in the outfield and a guy that is finally healthy is Scott Van Slyke, coming off that wrist surgery last year. I had a chance to catch up with a Dodger that has been part of the last four straight NL West championship teams.
Well, I think the essentials are the same. You know, we still got the corner. We got JT, we got Gonzo, we got Grandal, we got Kershaw. We got stability where we need stability, and then we obviously made a few add-ons and guys coming in like Logan and Gutierrez and guys like that that are going to add to the depth that we already had. So, yeah, I think overall guys are obviously not happy with the way that things ended last year, but I think besides that, I think they're pleased with how we played and how we, you know, showed grit. And so obviously, and we know the things that we got to work on. We got to work on our defense a little bit and hitting lefties. And there's certain things that we know that we're just going to get better over the course of this year.
How much does it help that the majority of the players that were on the team last year are back again this year, knowing you guys came up a little bit short? And, you know, I would say for the last 4 years, pretty much the same core group of players.
Yeah, I think it's only going to make us better. Guys have, you know, they've gotten a taste of the playoffs the last few years, and they understand what it's all about, and it'll make things better going forward.
As far as competition for spots on the bench, how do you look at the way things shape up for the team and for you personally?
Personally, it's not going to change. I try to go out and prove that I'm valuable at first and left and play center if they need me there and right and pinch hit and, you know, do the little things. And, you know, I can't worry about that. I just they know what I can do, and I just got to go out and do it.
The last couple of years, you obviously have not been yourself because of injuries. Mm-hmm. How much do you feel that this is a spring that you could show again who you can be when 100% healthy?
Yeah, you know, going into 15, the end of 15, and then 16 obviously didn't go very well health-wise. But, you know, when I feel good, I know I can play in the big leagues, and I know I can contribute, and whatever that looks like, I'm willing to do it.
All right, Scott, thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it, and I wish you could have been there for my bunting drill.
Go Long Beach State.
That was Scott Van Slyke, who heard about what had happened to my Long Beach State polo thanks to Justin Turner and Lon Rosen. And I really hope that Scott is part of this team when they break camp. He is one of those guys that may be a bubble player on the bench here, because you look at the Dodger bench as it's constructed right now with guaranteed contracts and guys that don't have options. You obviously are going to have Utley on the bench. You're going to have a backup catcher in Austin Barnes on the bench. You're going to have Andre Ethier or Andrew Tolles on the bench. And then you have two spots. And who are those two spots going to? Well, the Dodgers signed Franklin Gutierrez, who mashed against lefties the last 2 years with the Mariners. He's out of options and has a guaranteed contract, so he's on the roster. And then Farhan Zaidi, the Dodger GM, told the media at Cactus League Media Day he plans on having a player with shortstop experience on the bench as well. Is that going to be Kike Hernandez? Is that going to be Charlie Culberson? Who is that going to be? And that's not Scott Van Slyke. He doesn't fit that. And he does have options, and he may be one of those guys that may have to start the season in AAA Oklahoma City and be called upon as the season goes on. And he's been part of the last four NL West championship teams, obviously injury plagued the last two. And with Franklin Gutierrez in the mix, I'm not sure how he fits in. Now, you're saying who's going to be the right-handed first baseman against lefties to give Adrian Gonzalez days off? Well, that could be Justin Turner, who slides over to first base, and maybe Logan Forsythe plays third base those days. Or, you know, those could be the situation that the Dodgers are looking at coming out of camp. Now, as we know last year, the first 25 are not always the last 25. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to NoHo, North Hollywood. Emilio, you're on Dodger Talk.
Hey there, Dave. I don't know your thoughts on this. The number of times they change the ball during the game, it seems to kind of be outrageous. And the ball touches the ground.
You think that's holding up the game, Emilio?
Not holding it up, but like you said, pace of play.
Well, you run out of baseballs, you gotta use, get new ones.
But brand new ones, it kind of seems to be overkill. You notice, I don't know, I seem to notice on the TV every once in a while, there's a base hit, the ball come back to the pitcher, and he sees the pitch, they let him use it again. But every time it's, you know.
I don't think that's a big issue, Emilio, but I see what you're saying. I know sometimes pitchers don't like the way they're getting the grip on the ball, and they ask for a new baseball, but I really don't think that's a major issue. Thank you for the phone call, though. Appreciate it. Let's go out to Northridge. Peter, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk live from Camelback Ranch. What's up, Peter?
Hey, was calling in on the intentional walk.
Yeah, it's kind of strange that they eliminated that, considering sometimes wacky things happen in baseball.
Yeah, but, you know, coaching Little League for 15 years, the little guys, they blow one of those once in a while. But the big guys, when's the last time you saw them throw it in for a strike or it goes by the catcher? Everybody's a lot more athletic.
It actually happened last night in a college baseball game.
I have to look that up.
Texas A&M, look it up. It happened last night, and they won on a walk-off in that same situation where the team was trying to – yeah, they were trying to throw four wide ones, and it got away, and the runner scored, and they won the game on Tuesday night.
Disagree with trying to shorten it up. Lost two boys to other sports, went all the way to high school, real good players, and all of a sudden they're playing basketball and other sports that are faster. So just thinking any way we can
speed
this thing up, make it more
exciting. You got to do a better job than that, Peter.
hey, have some kids, see what happens. Thanks for the call.
I have two already, and I plan on making them love baseball, hopefully past 10 years old. But I'm just kidding with you. Thanks for the phone call, Peter. Appreciate it. And I think that's what Rob Manfred's trying to do. It seems like kids these days only go to a certain point to play the sport of baseball. And maybe, too, it's the instant gratification of the youth today. I don't want to sound like an old guy, but it just seems like everybody wants everything now. And baseball is not that type of sport. So you're going to have a lot more failures than you do successes, especially at an early age. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Ronnie, are we going to have time to share Willie Calhoun with the people? Oh, we won't. All right. Swing and miss again tonight. I'm sorry, Willie. We will get you on the show next week. This is our final Nissan Dodger Talk of the week. UCLA basketball, Clipper basketball will prevent Dodger Talk from happening the next two nights. So we will be back with you next Monday night live from Camelback Ranch at 7 o'clock. But before then, we will be with you beginning Saturday for the start of the Cactus League here in Glendale, Arizona for the Dodgers. They will play the Chicago White Sox here at Camelback Ranch. Dodgers on Deck begins at 11:30. First pitch with Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner at 12:05. Rick and Charlie will be on the call again on Sunday with Dodgers on Deck at 11:30 and the Dodgers taking on the Milwaukee Brewers at 12:05. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for all his help tonight. Thanks to Maury Will, Scott Van Slyke for taking time out of their busy day to be on the show tonight. Appreciate that. And in case you missed any of those conversations, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com. Thanks again. And like I mentioned, we'll be back with you on Saturday morning at 11:30 for the Dodgers' first spring training game of the Cactus League season in 2017, right here on Dodgers Radio, am570 LA Sports. Have a great night, everybody. See you.